You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Jesus touches people, and things begin to happen. The remarkable touch of Jesus, often unobtrusive, changes human life. It looks so ordinary, such a little thing, but it turns out to be extraordinary, turning a life around. It was just a little unnamed town, described simply by St. Luke in the 5th chapter of his Gospel as one of the cities. Jesus happened to be there. And so was a man full of leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, saying, "Lord, if you wish, you can cleanse me." Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. Nobody around there would have touched that man, but Jesus did. The touch of Jesus is a healing and loving touch. Jesus was not afraid to touch people. Even lepers who had to go around covering their mouths and crying out, "Unclean! Unclean!" The touch of Jesus is the touch of God. That same God proclaimed to the world through his prophet Isaiah, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." His son Jesus came to a world whose slogan seems to be, "Don't touch me. Do something for me, but don't touch me." Jesus himself was touched with the desperate plight of humanity, which is becoming more desperate all the time. We try to solve our problems, but we seem to be farther away from solution than ever before. The farther we go with our "don't touch me" philosophy, the worse things seem to get. Jesus was touched, we are told, with the feeling of our infirmities, but without sin. He was touched by the sight of a widow as she followed the body of her only son out to the graveyard. He touched the body lying on that bier, borne by grieving townspeople, and said simply, "Young man, I say to you, arise." A touching scene followed, a very human one, when the young man sat up and began to talk. Jesus took the hand of the young man and put it into the hand of his mother. The touch of Jesus reunites and turns tears into laughter. The touch of Jesus is a healing and forgiving touch. He's not afraid to face the reality of human sin. He deals with the ordinariness of sin, which causes people to think that it must be inevitable. To be human, you have to commit sin, no matter how it hurts or how much damage it does. Jesus did not commit sin. He was not out for himself, hurting others in order to protect himself. He knew the will of his Father, and he accepted the fact that he was here to do the will of his Father. Jesus was out for people, ready to touch them, and willing to be touched by the consequences of their sin. He bore in his own body our sins on that cross of wood, that sinners might be forgiven, and in that forgiveness might live to righteousness. He was made to be sin for us, said St. Paul, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The love of Christ does not shrink from all the upsets in life, even those that are repulsive to the rest of us, sinners that we are. Jesus stretched out his hand and touched the leper, saying, "Be cleansed." Immediately, the leprosy left him. That's the way Jesus does things. When Jesus cleanses you, you're clean. The leper did not do this to himself. Jesus told him not to tell anybody about it, but to go immediately to the priest for authorization of his cleansing, as Moses commanded. Jesus did not go around promoting himself. He helped people. Jesus did not want his people who had been cleansed by the power of God to go around promoting themselves. How could anyone go around bragging about being cleansed? as if he had done it all by himself, or even putting on airs as if God had found him so particularly attractive that he had got the attention of the Most High God. The touch of Jesus is the touch of the living God, reaching out in love, which is altogether genuine, coming out of the depths of his heart, love unearned and undeserved. The grace of God, love undeserved, is so impressive as to be almost unbelievable. It's incredible that the touch of God can reach out so powerfully to touch ordinary lives with such extraordinary results as to cleanse people from their sins and to give them a new life, a new reason for living. Jesus always said to his people, "As the Father has sent me, so send I you." What the world is looking for but cannot believe is that it could ever happen, this touch of God. That his touch could come through ordinary words of ordinary people like ourselves is incredible. Still, it happens every day. Jesus talks to people through the ordinary words of those who love him. He touches people with the tender touch of those who love him. A touch does a lot more for the world than beating other people up, no matter how much we may think that they deserve it. The touch of Jesus is a courageous touch. He reached out and touched the untouchable. He taught the unteachable. He died for the irredeemable. And he continues to love the unlovable with the tender touch of all who truly love him and the day of his appearing. On a plane the other day, across the aisle, sat a mother with her infant son. She held him on her lap as the plane took off. He was apprehensive about all this motion. She talked to him and touched his cheek with her finger. As soon as she touched him, the little fellow smiled. It was the touch of a mother who understood how he felt and truly cared about him. She was not afraid, and he did not need to be afraid either. We have good reason to fear God, not with a slavish fear, but with the respect due someone who truly loves you. The love of God in the touch of Jesus wipes out the fears that make life a madhouse and threaten to undo us. Someone told me about a woman from the country who went to visit New York City. She came with all the fears and prejudices people sometimes have about the big city. She had heard about all the crime and violence. She registered at a large downtown hotel and parked her car in the hotel's parking garage. It was late in the evening as she parked her car in that lonely and deserted spot. And she suddenly realized this is where the scary events on TV take place. She got out of her car and felt very apprehensive. Fearfully, she approached the elevator, and out of the shadows stepped a large black man with an ugly-looking dog on a leash. He got on the elevator with her. All of a sudden, two forces took over, fear and prejudice. Here she was with this large black man and his ugly dog in that elevator in the basement of that hotel. Her heart was pounding. All of a sudden, the black man said sternly, "Lie down on the floor." Without thinking, trembling in her fright, she started to get down on the floor. All of a sudden, the black man, realizing what was happening, broke out in a hearty laugh and said, "Lady, I was talking to my dog." It turned out that the gentleman in the elevator was one of our most famous Major League Baseball players. He could have been offended, but he wasn't. He gave her two tickets that night to the next day's Yankee baseball game. Respect for God goes very well with love for God. He loves you, and you are at your ever-living best when you love him. He touches you. And you are at your best when you touch others because you love him. The touch of God brings healing and love and forgiveness mediated by Jesus Christ. It comes to people in the face of Christ. Respect and love that are born of God. God's love never quits. Others may quit or cool off, but God's love never. One of the greatest statements in the Bible about the love of God focuses on the love of Jesus Christ, on his death for the sins of the world. and on the assurance of his resurrection from the dead by the glory of his Father. In the assurance of that faith, St. Paul wrote, "Nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Jesus himself offered that assurance. "Greater love has no man than that a man lay down his life for his friends." Jesus did that for you. Now it's your turn to do for him. He permits you to do that. He encourages you to do that. Indeed, he commands you to do that for him. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." I pray with people all the time in their homes or in a hospital room where they're suffering at the moment. Early on, I learned from an older pastor to take their hands in mine when we pray. I don't have any special touch, but the Lord God has his own touch. He touches people with the ordinary touch of his own people. A woman who had a lot of trouble said to her pastor, "Where's the hand of God in all this?" The pastor touched her shoulder gently and said, "This is the hand of God." Being altogether human, Jesus had the human touch. Being altogether God, Jesus had the touch of God. Jesus knew all about the value of the loving touch. He touched little ones and held them with affection as we do. His touch bestowed a blessing. It was a blessing from God. Jesus touched the leper, who we are told was full of leprosy. His sickness was in an advanced stage. Maybe he had lost his eyebrows. Perhaps his ears had fallen off, or he had no nose. It was a living death. This man was an outcast. Lepers had to separate themselves from others. This man could not be separated from Jesus Christ. The healing touch of Jesus, his cleansing touch and healing word, reached out with the hand of God. Jesus took our human infirmity into his own soul, purely out of love that knows no bounds, out of love for humanity. Jesus touches where others refuse to be involved. Followers of Jesus are ministering in these days to people who are victims of a terrifying disease called AIDS. In one city alone, 80 children have contracted AIDS, either from their mothers or from transfusions. "They break your heart," says Randy Block of that city's child welfare agency. "They're just like normal kids. They want to be loved, but they come to be rejected by their families and others. Followers of Jesus Christ, out of love for Christ, help victims of every kind of human ill to know that they are surrounded by the love of Christ. Whatever their problem, people need to be told, God loves you. Christ died for you. Christ lives for you, having been raised from the dead by the glory of his Father. Christ forgives you. Christ will give you strength to bear what must be borne. Christ touches you with eternal hope, eternal love, and eternal life. The cross of Christ has always been the center of God's plan for the world, and it still is. He suffered once, the just for the unjust, to bring us to God. By his cross, Christ calls your name. Christ touches you. Christ invites you to faith in him. Christ warms you with his love. Christ encourages you with his touch, his loving, healing, and forgiving touch, to bring to others the raw courage with which he reaches out to touch you. It's a powerful thing, the touch of Jesus. It's the power of his cross and of his resurrection. And he reaches out to touch you with a powerful word that comes from him and produces what he promises. "Be cleansed," he says, "and be clean." Amen.